ladies and gentlemen, I think that too often the answer is no, not really. What we have now is a great range of readers, with only the very best being what we used to call readers. All the phonics experts say that they can teach children to read by Christmas of the first year. A child might be slow or fast reader, but the point is they can sound out the words, then they understand what's on the page. Meanwhile, all the sight word readers are guessing on many words and can actually read only a portion of the words on the page. So they look desperately at context, search frantically for clues, look hopefully for some word they know for sure. For most younger people, reading is a mess. It's incoherent and painful. It takes a lot of time. It's not what the word reading used to mean. Another way of explaining the situation, a literacy administrator said he had various tests which he could administer to his incoming college class. It took an hour and it cost $100 or something like that. I said, why not take a paragraph out of the newspaper, hand it to the student, and say, read this. If the student can read the paragraph without missing a word, without stumbling, without guessing, that's a real reader. But what we have now is millions of people who are struggling readers. And then we have an array of testing procedures that are designed to get the desired verdict, proficient reader. Bottom line, I think we have lots of people who have been labeled proficient, grade level, and so on, but it's all a lie because the reading is slow and arduous, not fun. Many children reach the point where they tell everyone, oh, I hate reading. I never look at a book. Truth is, those kids cannot read. We have phony instructional methods, and then we have a layer of lies on top of that. I believe that for the last 90 years, the goal was to produce illiteracy, lots of illiteracy. But if children were too blatantly illiterate, then everyone would say, oh, the schools are doing a lousy job. So what our so-called educators do is boast about new methods, but in fact, they are merely new frauds shrouded in new fog. Guessing is at the heart of this chicanery. Guessing is not reading. If a child guesses more than occasionally, the child is not a reader. But guess what? Guessing has been the official first resort for the last 70 years when a child does not know a word immediately. Think about that. Tens of millions of children have been deliberately consigned to failure. All the expert advice came down to two bogus gimmicks: guess or skip ahead. Another way to discuss this whole thing is to point out that once upon a time, reading for pleasure was the main reason people read when not at a job. Lots of people can no longer read for pleasure. This is the greatest clue. This is the canary in the coal mine. You know that shysters control the schools. We're coming up on the 70th anniversary of Flesch's famous book, Why Johnny Can't Read. 7 decades of deception. Just think of the effort it takes to keep children illiterate. You have to con them into memorizing the wrong things and using the wrong strategies. Please, everyone, look at my short video, Reading is Easy. Only 4 minutes and then you'll know. Another way is to order a copy of Why Johnny Can't Read, used less than 10 on Amazon, so you can read the first chapter, about 22 pages, and then you'll know the whole crazy history of keeping America illiterate. Flesch's big mistake was thinking everybody would grasp his short explanation of why sight words don't work. He thought it was so obvious, so simple. That's one of the most interesting miscalculations in history. Now, I covered Ed School Follies in episode 141. That's the great book by Rita Kramer. One of my favorite anecdotes occurs when a future teacher asked for advice. The professor describes the whole word approach to reading, suggests sight will work better than sound, says, open quote, tell them to spell it, not sound it out. Watch them. They will. Eventually they'll trust you and they'll learn to read, close quote. Now you know why the Marxist saboteurs were so eager to build hundreds of ed schools. That's where they would plant the bad seeds. Thank you.
Overview. Let's Fix Education explores 7 of my favorite themes. First, this podcast is a meditation on what I call the K-12 crime scene. So many destructive ideas. Understanding them is the key to fixing them. 2, by doing that, we will have better schools at less cost. 3, nothing much changes decade to decade. The big questions of the 1930s were the big questions of the 1960s and the 1990s. Any subject we discuss can easily intersect with any other subject. Most people instinctively want traditional education, but the education establishment fills classrooms with progressive gimmicks. The result is that we have a standoff, and that's why you run into the same ideas over and over. 4. The big brains in education keep telling students, don't bother memorizing this or that. You can look it up later. B.B. King, the great guitarist, is much smarter. He said, the beautiful thing about learning is nobody can take it away from you. 5. Lenin's ghost wanders through our school system. The hard left thinks big. If they have to kill millions of people to build their perfect society, that's okay. Same goes for dumbing down millions of students. Totalitarians want power. They will do anything to get it. 6. If we are going to survive, we have to take each child to his or her limit. As it is, we are creating millions of sub-educated students, from K right through college. 7. Analyzing education, especially dysfunctional education, is a lot more intellectually interesting than most people suppose. You'll enjoy this. Finally, P.S. My book, Saving K-12, runs parallel to everything discussed on this podcast. I also have an education site, improve-education.org, with 70 articles that complement everything discussed here. And I have hundreds of articles on the internet. Enter a topic in Google with my full name, Bruce Dietrich Price, and let Google make suggestions. Thank you for visiting.